So the six common guidelines for taking refuge. First one is mindful of the qualities, the skills, and the differences between the three jewels and other possible refuges. Repeatedly take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. So this is kind of reviewing those sections. Remember, we had a whole section on the qualities and the skills of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Then we had a whole section on the differences, you know, between them and how to relate to each of them, the special things each one of them can give to us. Then we had a whole section about the differences between Buddha, Dharma, Sangha as an object, as objects of refuge, and like looking at other traditions, other teachings, other paths. Okay, so the more we meditate on those previous things, then the more comes in our heart a feeling of real appreciation for having met the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. And then that leads us spontaneously to take refuge repeatedly. Okay, so even though the refuge ceremony that helps you tap into the lineage of energy coming from the time of the Buddha, that, you know, it can be done once, it can be done many times, but refuge is really a continuous growing process that we take ourselves in our meditation, you know, we take refuge each morning, each evening, all the time during the day, and that increases it throughout our life. Okay, and so the more we contemplate the qualities and skills of the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, the deeper our refuge gets. Yeah. And I know now, you know, when I look back, I took refuge in 1975, and I look back upon kind of what I knew at the time I took refuge. You know, and I mean, at the time I took it, it was like, it was a very intense experience. But I look back now at what I understood then, I thought, mamma mia, you know, because, you know, kind of the refuge changes over that time as, you know, as you learn more and practice and you begin to see how refuge relates to your daily life, because it relates very much to the daily life, then the refuge gets deeper, your whole attitude towards it changes. Okay, so refuge is done repeatedly in this way. If that sounds funny to you, you know, it might be helpful to remember that His Holiness also takes refuge. Yeah. And if you look at the qualities of, you know, people like His Holiness and some of the great holy beings, and you think they also take refuge, then we can get some idea of where maybe where some of their qualities come from. Yeah. I mean, their qualities just don't come out of outer space, and it wasn't like they were just born there and, you know, they had these things. But these great leaders spent a lot of time cultivating the path. And, of course, and why do you cultivate the path? It's because you've taken refuge. You know, refuge is making that decision to practice the path, to turn to the Triple Gem for guidance. Sometimes our egos don't like to look for guidance. That's quite helpful, you know, to remember that the great leaders also do that. Then the second one is remembering the kindness of the Triple Gem, make offerings to them, okay, especially offering food and prostrations and so on. Okay, so when we remember the kindness, in other words, what the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha do to benefit us, then spontaneously the wish to show our respect to them through prostration and to, you know, to show our feeling of gratitude through making offerings, that comes about. And again, you know, these things aren't done because the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha need them, but they're like expressions of our own feelings towards the refuge. Yeah. Now, it might seem when we start to do prostrations, you know, I mean, like sometimes there's no feeling at all, or you do your water bowls in the morning and there's no feeling at all. So you might say, well, there's no feeling, why should I continue to do this? Yeah. But sometimes just the process of doing it might help us to clear away some things in our mind so that we begin to understand better why we're doing it. And that spontaneous feeling of affection and attraction towards Buddha, Dharma, Sangha can come. Okay? So it's not like I have to do these things because I'm a Buddhist, but, you know, either because we feel this kind of attraction and faith, then we want to do, or even though we don't have the feelings right now, we know somehow by the process of just doing this, it sets the stage for questioning in our mind to go on so that those feelings can begin to arise. Okay? And also the Triple Gem is a very good field of positive potential, you know, because of their quality, then any karma we create in terms of them becomes very, very powerful. So by offering and showing respect to them, it has a very strong impact on our mind. If you offer and show respect to rock stars, that has an impact on your mind too, and it shows you where your mind's going, you know. So, I mean, that's why we do it towards the Triple Gem, because it makes an impact on the mind and it shows us where we're going. Yeah. So, in terms of making offerings, you know, it could be just, you know, if you want to have a shrine and you offer water or fruit or light or, you know, whatever things you want to do there, your shrine at home, or go to a temple and make offerings there. Especially, I think, before we eat, to make offerings. And since we eat all the time, we never forget that. We're never too busy for that. Then, you know, it's an excellent time to create some positive potential while we're at it. You know, no excuses that we don't have time for it. Yeah. And so, you know, doing the offering prayer before we eat is really important. And I think, you know, that really sets us apart in some way, you know, makes us much more mindful than how we usually are when we're on automatic, you know, because you just watch how people normally are around food, and they're usually wolfing it down and completely, you know, mindless, the mind somewhere, who knows where, just shoveling food in the mouth, you know, with no awareness of where the food came from or anything like that. So just the fact of sitting quietly, you know, and thinking a minute before you eat, I think it's very valuable in our life. It slows us down. It makes us think where the food came from. We transform the food into beautiful wisdom nectar. We have a little Buddha made of light at our own heart, you know, like our own fully actualized Buddha potential. We offer that nectar to the Buddha at our heart. When we eat, the light fills our body. Okay? It's like a whole meditation, and people talk about putting Dharma into daily life. This is one way to do it, because we're eating all the time. One very excellent way to put Dharma into daily life. And it makes a big difference. And I think it's nice to do with our families also. One family that I stayed with on the tour, they had two little kids, and their son was like 5 or 6. And he would lead the offering prayer before dinner. And it was a really neat thing, you know, because the kids kind of grow up with that, and they know the offering prayer, and they lead it, and the whole family does it. And I think it's really wonderful. Okay. Well, and so also for us. And then even you go out with, you know, you're out at a business lunch with people who aren't Buddhist, you can still offer your food. You know, you don't need to sit there like this in the middle of the restaurant, but, you know, you can just sit there with your eyes open and play with your napkin and your silverware. But inside, you're offering your food. Nobody knows anything. Yeah, because they're playing with their napkins and silverware too, but their mind's doing something else. Yeah, so there's always time to, you know, do this transformation thing and offer the food. You know, it was nice. I talked to one young woman who's just getting into the Dharma. You know, she comes on Thursday night, and when she gets up in the morning, she makes 2 cups of coffee, and she thought of this all by herself. It's incredible, because this is what the Tibetans do. But she, just her own mind thought of this, because she really likes to have a cup of coffee in the morning. She makes 2 cups, and she puts one on the altar, and she drinks the other cup. You know, and I was just so amazed, because, like, just her natural
wish spontaneous to connect with Buddha Dharma Sangha like that in the morning. Yeah, and that is really nice. Okay, so offering food, then offering prostrations. Another, you know, real easy way to put Dharma into daily life is when you get up in the morning, yeah, get out of bed and make 3 prostrations first thing in the morning. And before you get into bed at night, again, make 3 prostrations. It's like a real nice way to wind, you know, to round out the whole day. So in the morning, first thought, Buddha Dharma Sangha, really, you know, showing respect. And it's not respect to an external Buddha Dharma Sangha. That's respect to our own human potential in its fully actualized form. And then, you know, before we go to bed, again, you know, touching base with that, even just for the 30 seconds it takes to make 3 prostrations. Very valuable. Very valuable. Okay, so this kind of thing, you can do a lot in your life. You know, small offerings, small respect, all these kinds of things. And then the third one was mindful of their compassion, then encourage others to take refuge in the Triple Gem. Okay, so when we're aware of the compassion of the Triple Gem, everything, you know, how they say the Buddha cares more about us than we care for ourselves. Now, Buddha has more compassion for us than we have for ourselves. Being mindful of that, being mindful of this whole support system we have, you know, under our life, under, you know, the whole spiritual support system we have to rely on in Buddha Dharma Sangha. Then helping others to take refuge, you know, helping them to contact the Dharma. Now, this doesn't mean that you go out on the street corner. Yeah. Well, this morning, actually, I didn't tell you, somebody came to the door. One lady, she's very smart. She came with 2 little kids. So you want to answer the door? And then she wanted, of course, to tell me the good news. So I chatted with her for a while, you know. Yeah. She asked me why I became a Buddhist, and I told her. Anyway. You know, we don't have to go door to door and to push and coerce people, but I think it's good if we share what we've learned and how we've benefited from other people. You know, some people become Buddhist and they become closet Buddhists. It's like, oh, well, I can't tell anybody, and what are they going to think? You know, and they just kind of do it very secretively. And then probably, you know, lots of other people could benefit. But these people, because they're so caught up in what other people are going to think about them, don't bother just to share things that happen in their daily lives. So I think, you know, we don't need to go around advertising, coercing people. But I think, you know, when colleagues and friends ask, oh, where did you go on the weekend? You know, you don't need to stumble and play with your napkin some more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can say, I went on a Buddhist retreat or, you know, whatever, something like that. And then people are often curious, and then they get into Dharma like that. You know, I think it's very helpful. And often, like I've been saying, you know, just by our example, how we act, then people get interested. It's like, well, what are you doing that, you know, you're not freaking out at work today, but everybody else is freaking out. So they become interesting just by our example, just our way of being can interest people. And then, you know, for example, when His Holiness is here, I mean, His Holiness is, you know, totally societally acceptable. You don't need to be ashamed. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. She can encourage all your friends and relatives to come. You know, it has nothing to really to do with Buddhism, so to speak. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. You bring them, you know, you bring them there. Or you share your Dharma books, things like that. It can really benefit, you know, a great number of people. And then the fourth one is remembering the benefits of taking refuge, to take refuge 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening. So last time we talked about the benefits of refuge, and when we think, you know, that refuge purifies negative karma, it accumulates good karma, it protects us from harm, It enables us to enter the gateway in the path. It helps us to attain enlightenment quickly. When we think about all these different benefits and really spend some time in our meditation thinking about them, then again, this wish, you know, to renew the refuge constantly comes. And so there's this practice of taking refuge 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening. And again, this is a real nice way to round out your whole day. So instead of jumping out of bed and taking refuge in the refrigerator, or refuge in the microwave, or refuge in the telephone, you know, we take refuge in the triple gem. And so you can do it just by your own thought, or if you like to say prayers, because prayers help you, then you can do just even the short ones that we do at the beginning here. You know, Namo Guruvya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. Or you can do, you know, I take refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha until I am enlightened. You know, that one. Okay, so you can do either of those, and you just sit and do it 3 times in the morning, again when you get up, in the evening before you go to bed. Round out the day, touch base. Because one of our big problems in our life, I mean, we feel so scattered because we never sit down and stay still. We never touch base with our spiritual side. And so, we just need, again, a little bit of discipline and remembering the benefits of doing that, and then doing it, setting our mind to do it, and it doesn't take so long. Yeah? And we definitely get benefit from this. And then the fifth one is to do all actions by entrusting ourselves to the 3 tools. So before we undertake projects or whatever, you know, we can take refuge in the 3 jewels. And again, doing that, it makes us feel supported. It gives us a sense of confidence. I mean, sometimes people call me and they have these incredible problems and they want me to help with their problem. And it's like, Mommy Tara, help! You know, I mean, refuge really works at that time when, you know, you want to help somebody, you don't know what to do, you take refuge. And kind of something happens and you're able to do something. Or if you're in a frightening situation, yeah, you take refuge. And that helps calm the fear, or it can even help avert the danger. You know, when I was on this plane from Rochester to, where was it, Providence, no, someplace in Connecticut. Anyway, you know, it was one of these 12-seater prop jets, you know, flying over a storm going kablunk, kablunk, kablunk. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, if I thought it was the Matterhorn, you know, at Disneyland, it was like that, you know. So you just take refuge at that time. Yeah, it helps greatly. Because then you're putting your mind in a positive direction. Then if you live, great. If you don't live, you've made some preparation. Your mind's peaceful. So in all these situations, just to try and, you know, constantly renew the refuge to do everything we do by taking refuge. And I think really, you know, when we're in difficult situations, when, you know, we really want to help, we don't know what to do, we're afraid, we're really getting pushed to our limits, you know, or we're exhausted or whatever it is, just doing refuge in our mind is very, very helpful. Very helpful. And then the sixth one is don't forsake the refuge at the cost of our life, or even as a joke. Okay, so at the cost of our life, you know, if somebody's sitting there telling you that they're going to kill you unless you give up your refuge, you don't give up your refuge. You can say to that person anything you want to say, words are words, but in your heart, you don't give up your refuge. So it's kind of like if you have this refuge and you give it up, what do you have then? What do you have? And what can you rely on? You know, it's like that part, that kernel, that core of you, that spiritual part of you that is so meaningful, that gives you some sense of purpose in your life. If you give that up, what are you going to have? You know, even if you live, what's the sense? Yeah? So don't give it up in a serious condition, and also similarly, you know, flippantly, like a joke, to, you know, kind of give up our refuge. Because, you know, if we give up our refuge, then the whole practice degenerates. And you can see it very clearly, because if you take refuge, you're entering into the door of the Dharma, you're going to do it. If you give up your refuge, you're exiting. Yeah? And then kind of what do we have left in our life? Yeah. We still have the microwave and the refrigerator, but, you know, no great meaning in them.